This is PodTech News. It's Monday, August 21st. I'm Catherine Girardeau. Today we're launching a new series here on PodTech News. We're calling it Web 2.0 Voices. We hope it'll be a series of casual conversations in pubs or cafes or corporate lunchrooms with the people behind the most innovative Web 2.0 companies out there. For our first interview in the series, I'm pleased to bring you a chat with Dig.com founder and chief architect, 29-year-old Kevin Rose.
We definitely have some new directions that we'll be getting into outside of just news. Videos was kind of our first dab at applying like this large collaborative filter to other types of content online. So you can expect to see a few other stabs in different directions that really expand outside of just a social news site. So and really some new radical designs with these different directions as well. So it won't just look like the standard Dig that you're used to seeing. You're going to see some kind of cool ways that we're applying Dig to other types of content. So
we talked at Farley's, a cafe a couple blocks from Dig's headquarters in San Francisco's Potrero Hill neighborhood, about Dig's future course and new features in the works. He artfully dodged my questions, post-Business Week cover, about his own rising rock star status in the world of Web 2.0 glamour geeks. I asked Kevin Rose how he defines that all-encompassing buzzword, Web 2.0.
I think it's a great way for companies to raise money by attaching that to their name.
Has that worked for you?
It's a whole collection of things, but yeah, we never really tried to pin Web 2.0 on our company. And when we launched in November of or December of 2004, we were just starting to hear like the ramblings of, well, this is the next web, you know. So, it's more than anything for us. It's really about allowing users to have access to their data and what they're doing, and making all of that open and free and sharing with others. I mean, we're working on an API that we're starting to just roll out that allows pretty much anyone to tie into us and pull out the data that they have been creating on the site. So everything that is published under Dig falls under the Creative Commons, so anyone can repurpose the submissions. It allows our users to blog those submissions without changing any of the copy if they want, directly to their own websites. And also to gather stats and kind of use the data for research and to dig in and find out what people are doing, and as those interests are shifting online, to just be able to have full access to all of that.
So I wanted to congratulate you on winning the People's Choice podcast.
Oh, thanks so much.
For 2006.
That was a shock. We're very grateful and happy about that. It was pretty funny. We were just about to start the podcast when we found out that we'd actually won the award, and it was pretty cool.
This is for Dig Nation.
Right, for Dig Nation. Yeah, we've never won anything for Dig Nation. I mean, it's just a couple of guys sitting around having beer and talking about tech stories. So
I'm surprised, actually, any beer companies haven't been like having you promote their brand, like microbreweries. It seems like that could be a good vehicle.
Well, I mean, we've gotten a lot of
product placement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have sent their beers. We've gotten all different types of brews in the mail, but I mean, that would be great. I think we'll be the first ones to say that this beer is our favorite, should anyone choose to sponsor us in that way. It also really helps. I mean, it's great for the Dig community. I think it's a lot of fun to be able to feature the users that are submitting these great stories and be able to say, hey, you know, this is a great submitter. And people have actually started to, you know, follow some of these Dig users based on, you know, coming up in Dig Nation several times and then just having really interesting articles that they submit. We're still a very small company. You know, it's only a handful of us. And
How many employees do you have now?
Right now there is 15. But out of the 15, there's really only 3 developers. And then we have a few ops guys that really help out with the scaling the site. And then it's myself and a designer and Jay, the CEO, and that's about it. I mean, it's just a small little group, and we actually like keeping the company small. There's no plans on having, you know, 50 employees or doing some crazy 1999 expansion like the old web companies did, where they thought they had to have, you know, a dedicated individual for every single task. You know, with us, it's just like we share the... We all have, you know, we all wear several different hats in the company, and that's the way we like it. It's a lot of fun.
And your official title is founder and chief architect?
Correct. Yeah, so that means, pretty much it just means I design the features of the site.
So can you tell me anything about planned new features you're going to be rolling out anytime soon?
I wish I could. There's not really anything. I mean, there's quite a few features, but it's one of those things where they're still kind of halfway in development right now, so it's a little early to kind of let some of that stuff go. But
any idea on time frame when stuff might, when we might be seeing some new features for Dig?
We're getting into the cycle to where we're able to kind of churn something out every 2 to 3 weeks now. So we just launched a couple new features last week with video thumbnails for all the new videos that are being submitted to Dig. And so, and we're also continuing to expand the number of providers that we have with the thumbnails. So we're going to be adding, you know, Yahoo videos and a few other different online video providers. But yeah, we definitely have some new directions that we'll be getting into outside of just news. Videos was kind of our first stab at applying like this large collaborative filter to other types of content online. So you can expect to see you know, a few other stabs in different directions that really expand outside of just a social news site. So and really some new radical designs with these different directions as well. So it won't just look like the standard Dig that you're used to seeing. You're going to see some kind of cool ways that we're applying Dig to other types of content. So,
any plans to compete with YouTube in becoming a video platform site?
No, definitely not. I mean, one of the things that's very important to us is that we always drive traffic back to the original source, and really we want to be that collaborative filter for all different types of content online. We never want to get into the business of being a hosting provider or a blog provider or hosting any of the content ourselves. It's really about just keeping the platform neutral to where we don't favor one side over another. You know, we really want to make sure that you know, whether you're a personal blogger or the New York Times, you have an equal shot at getting your story on the front page. So that's something that's very important to us. So you'll never see us really expanding into any type of hosting of any content.
And what is your favorite topic on Dig right now?
The video section is the most fun for me because I don't have a whole lot of free time to watch all the TV shows that I used to. And so there'll be, you know, clips from Stephen Colbert or The Daily Show, or just there's a lot of really fun little, you know, YouTube and Google Video gems that I often don't see. And so I'll just go and sort by, you know, top this week, you know, a couple times a week, and then I'll just sit down for an hour and go through all the videos, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great new section.
So adding new servers, you know, costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You've said that you want to preserve the user experience and not take too much advertising.
Right.
You know, you're doing pretty unobtrusive advertising at this point. You said earlier, you know, you want to keep it small. And you've also said Dig is not yet profitable.
Right.
So what are your plans to become profitable while keeping it small? How do you do that?
We definitely have a course and a path to profitability. It's we're continuing to grow like crazy, and so keeping the ads where they are and simple and lightweight is very important to us, and it has been since day one. I mean, we don't want to bombard the user with just, you know, jumping monkeys and craziness because it really kind of interferes with the overall experience. We like the fact that it's lightweight and clean. So, you know, as long as there's that, as a company, you look at your, you know, you kind of look at your forecasts and your revenue and how much money you're bringing in. And if you say, well, you know, that's part of the reason why we went after, we closed a round of funding, you know, 8 months ago, is because we wanted to have a little bit of a runway there to where we could buy more servers, hire more talent, and really take us to becoming a profitable company. So we're going to continue to keep the site very lightweight. And really
in terms of advertising.
In terms of advertising, just because we don't really, as long as we continue the growth curve that we're at right now, we'll be fine. You know, it's one of those things where it's so important to me personally. I've seen so many sites that are just littered with advertising all over the place. And, you know, it makes sense. I mean, companies want to make money. I mean, these are publicly traded companies that really have stockholders to answer to, and they want to pull in as much money as possible. We're private, we're small, you know, and as long as we just really keep the experience lightweight to attract more users into the site and really take our time and choose the advertisers that are advertising on the site, make sure it's people that we want on the site as well. We're working with a company called Federated Media, that represents a lot of really cool blogs out there, you know, the Boing Boings of the world and FARC, and they have like a list of 50 or so different blogs that they actually represent. And they've been really good to us in that they sit down, they talk about our goals as a company and what type of advertisers we would like to have on the site, and then you go and pitch those advertisers. And, you know, they've been able to bring to us, you know, the Apples of the world and Lenovo and Hitachi and just advertisers that we really believe in their products and brands and want to have running on the site.
So we agreed to not talk about the $60 million net worth Brat Pack.
Oh, I can talk about it. It doesn't...
Well, one thing that I'm really curious about, actually it's funny listening to Bob Dylan, just thinking about how fame affects people. How, I mean, what is there any truth to this rock star thing? To you know, that your status kind of as a person has changed because of Diggs' popularity and Diggs', you know, Diggs' profile in the world?
Gosh, that's kind of a, I really, nothing has changed for me personally, just because it's the same, as Dig has continued to grow. I mean, it's, there's a couple of times where you kind of just sit there and go, wow, I cannot believe we actually surpassed Slashdot in traffic. Like, that is just insane, because I've been the hugest Slashdot fan for, you know, years.
Well, and you're pretty close on the heels of the New York Times, too. Have you surpassed the New York Times?
I don't think so. I don't think yet, but I guess according to the numbers, we're kind of approaching them. But the main thing has to be just focusing on the site and not worrying about how large it gets or, you know, what the traffic looks like. It's really just about kind of, you know, exploring our vision and where we want to take the site and just focusing on that. But
what about writers like the Business Week person who, you know, kind of painted you to be like the hottest young Web 2.0 property? And,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I had no idea that that was going to be the cover until I actually saw the cover. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I had that money, and I actually don't. So it's all just, you know, it's just numbers based on, you know, it's paper, it's fake money. There's no money there. I make the same money I've been making for the last 2 years, and it's like, you know, it's not real. It's not real to me. It doesn't feel like anything. I don't have some crazy, you know, house or sports car or anything like that. So it's just, you know, it's a great way to sell magazines, and that was pretty interesting to see that.
But how does it feel to know that you could? I mean, quite frankly, you could, you know, sell a bunch of ads and sell your company to Yahoo tomorrow, and you could have, you know, the house and the sports car and all that stuff.
Well, you know, I when I was out here in San Francisco, when I first moved out here in late '99. I worked at two other dot-com startups, and I had, you know, beautiful stock certificates that I still have in my filing drawer that are now worth absolutely nothing. You know, after that happens a few times, you're just like, well, you know, you can't even think about that kind of stuff. And really, I don't know that we really ever want to sell the company. Like, I'm really happy taking the company and keeping it small. And it's like, if we can, when we become a profitable company, we don't have to sell to anyone. I mean, there's all this hype around, you know, when are you going to sell? How much are you going to sell for? And it's like, we just want to build a really cool service. I mean, in my head, Dig is probably 15 to 20% done. I mean, there's so many features on the table that I have waiting to be coded and rolled out that we really haven't shown who we are as a company yet. And until we do that, why, I don't know, and even after you do that, I don't know why there'd be this pressure to sell. You know, I don't know. It just doesn't, I've heard too many friends that have sold their companies, that have lost control of their company, and then they aren't happy. And right now, the entire team is having a great time, and we're just happy doing what we're doing. So there's not really any reason to go any other way. Why not just do it yourself?
That was a conversation with Kevin Rose, Dig.com's founder and chief architect, recorded Friday afternoon at Farley's Cafe in San Francisco. We'd love your feedback and your suggestions of people you think we should feature for the series. Drop me a line at Catherine@podtech.net. That's CATHERINE@podtech.net. Or post a comment on our blog at www.podtech.net/blog. This is PodTech News. I'm Catherine Giraudot.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's all good. No problem. That was fun.